A reading from Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for those who were in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he will make glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of my friends, Scott Spence, is also the pastor of a UCC church. He sent me a message this week asking how I was handling this text, since both our churches use this schedule of readings called the narrative lectionary. We've preached on Isaiah chapter 9, but he and I have usually done so in a different context. It's usually read alongside another story, famous for its shepherds, stable, manger, and baby. Scott asked what I was thinking about preaching this week because he said, I just keep wanting to preach a Christmas Eve sermon. Scott might be a month ahead on the calendar, but it's easy to understand the connection to Christmas, isn't it? This is the very text which is set to glorious music in Handel's Messiah, used as foreshadowing for Jesus' birth and sung so frequently in the holiday season. But Scott's getting ahead of himself in a more profound way also. There's a deep current of forward movement, of anticipation in the Christian faith. We're always looking ahead to the fulfillment of God's promises. Christianity looks around the world at the way things are and proclaims that there is more than meets the eye. Not this only, or that only, or that, but that. Far off. That in the future which is envisioned with the eyes of faith and held in the heart. It's the sense of ultimate hope depicted at the end of the Bible, in the words of Revelation promise, which are read so often at funerals. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. The Christian faith is lived in future tense. We get that future faith from our Hebrew ancestors, including the prophet Isaiah. He looked around the world at his day and looked ahead to something else, something different, something better. The two Hebrew kingdoms of Isaiah's day were split by civil war, but he said they would not be divided forever. The foreign adversaries, with their boots of war and garments soaked in blood, would not prevail forever. Listen to the future tense of Isaiah's promise. There will be no gloom for those who live in anguish. God will make glorious, the lands of Palestine. Isaiah can see the light of tomorrow dawning, though the times he lived in were bleak as midnight. Except for this. If we start studying the grammar of Isaiah's prophecy, if we look closely at what Charlie just read, we'll recognize that future, present, and past are all wrapped up in there together. The future is being realized even now, and has been realized already in the past, Isaiah says. So he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. On them light has shined. He says to God, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. You have broken the yoke of burden, the bar across shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Isaiah recognizes God's action in the past, raising up a Savior. In this case, likely a military ruler, though Christians connect the prophecy, of course, to Jesus. A child has been born for us. A ruler, a son, given to us. But the future fulfillment of that past is not yet realized. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Past, present, and future. Isaiah shows us what is sometimes called the now and the not yet of Christian faith. God is present and active right here and now. But the full realization of God's promise is not yet at hand. We hold with one hand in the sweet by and by when I die, and in the other hand down on the ground while I'm still around. The faith that there is more to come carries us through seasons of heart sickness when all seems to be in trouble. Yet the promise of God's manifesting right here and right now can keep us from being so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly use. Now and not yet. Held in faithful balance with each other. This season in the church's life feels full of that same promise and realization. With Thanksgiving Sunday and all the gratitude we will extend to one another or around tables this week, we number the blessings here of this past year. The above and beyond generosity of the capital campaign this past spring. Growth in worship, in spirit, in members. Those in need of care who have been and will be held in perpetual love and prayer. Over coffee and conversation each week in Bible study or downstairs during fellowship time, we name the brokenness of the world as it is, yet also point with gladness to what hopes are being born anew in it. Our confirmation youth, who I joined on retreat in downtown Minneapolis this weekend, have experienced there firsthand the costs and the grievous trial of living in urban poverty in Minneapolis. Yet they also, at the same time, joined in making it better, volunteering yesterday to feed and clean at a homeless shelter throughout the day. The Divine Design Task Force has been meeting this week with possible architects to help us interview candidates that will remake our narthex, our welcome, our gathering space, to create it into a space that's more welcoming, more serviceable. We are counting the blessings of the past, acknowledging the limits of the present while building with our pledges the hopes that are to come in the future. We're practicing both the now and the not yet of Christian faith. That's our invitation today. And so I invite you to listen in closing to these words of wisdom in a hymn by Natalie Sleeth. She writes, "In the bulb, there is a flower. In the seed, an apple tree. In cocoons, a hidden promise. Butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and snow of winter, there's a spring that waits to be. Unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see." This is the faith that sees the future in the present moment. Faith that God holds that future. Faith that we inherit from Jesus, from Isaiah, from all our ancestors. Faith that we live by, pulling us from here into tomorrow. The faith by which we share every good thing. The faith that helps us trust in the promise of Christmas Eve, even before Thanksgiving. Amen.